Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. So I'm going to read the Christmas story from Luke. Isn't that a good idea? There are four Gospels in the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. And our two Christmas stories come from Matthew and Luke. And they agree on all the major places and they agree on the major people, but they have some distinct differences. And this is the really famous one, the Christmas story. If you grew up like me with the Charlie Brown Christmas special with Lucy and Linus and Charlie Brown, this is the one that Linus reads. He reads the one from Luke. So this is Luke chapter 2. It's going to say verses 1 through 14 if it was on the slide up there already. But I'm going to read a little bit past that because I want to keep reading tonight. I was reading it this afternoon and said I'm going to go to 17 or 18 and see where we end up. But I'm so happy to see you all here. We are grateful for your presence with us tonight at White Memorial. And we are overjoyed to share this Christmas celebration, this wonderful night of worship in our God's name with you together. So this is Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David, called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of God. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver the child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you this day is born in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom God favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Well, let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, the thing the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said. That, friends, is the Christmas story from the Gospel according to Luke, and it is for us by the Holy Spirit this night, the Word of God for all of us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, I'm overjoyed to be here with you at White Memorial on this Christmas Eve, here at the very end of Advent, because that's what Christmas is in the way the life of the church rolls out over the past month or so, over the past 4 weeks. Down here in Edinburgh, you can see what Advent is all about. It's on the banners on the wall right behind me. Hope and peace and joy and love. These four Sundays of Advent that help us concentrate on the way that God promises that hope and peace and joy and love should be and can be and will be part of our lives. And like we said before, there has never been a human life living on this earth, either now or in the past, that couldn't use more hope, peace, joy, and love. These are authentic, important gifts of God. And whenever they show up within us or near us, it is a blessing. And so Christmas, with the birth of Jesus, this coming of our Lord, the nativity of our Lord, signals the end of Advent and the beginning of something new. We should note that on this night, that in many ways, Jesus' birth, his birthday, that's what this is, right, is like every other birth. I mean, he had a mother, right? Just like we all had a mother that helped us come into this world. So that birth in some ways is completely ordinary. Just another son born to a mother in first century Palestine, Israel. But the truth is that it's not like any other birth. So let me give you an object lesson. Today at 3 o'clock, we had 500 people here. Let's call it maybe 600. At 4 o'clock, we had, I think, close to 700. It's about 165 up to 200 of you. I'll round up. And there's another 500 or so people up the hill. So conservatively, before we even get to our 11 o'clock service tonight, just at this one church, to say nothing of the rest of the earth, about 2,700 to 3,000 people came to our services tonight. I'm just curious, guys, how many people came to your last birthday party? Probably not that many. In other words, across the world over, this birth is being celebrated. And the birth is so important that if you know the ancient creeds of the church, like the things that the ancient creed writers wanted us to know about Jesus, it's always included. Oh, were his parables important? Yes. Was his preaching important? Yes. Are the miracles that he did? Yes. Those are all important. But in the ancient creeds, there are only three of his life events that are ever referenced. Born of the Virgin Mary, Christmas. Crucified under Rome by a guy named Pontius Pilate, Good Friday, and raised on the third day, Easter. Without Christmas, there's no Good Friday, there's no Easter. And so Christmas is this birthday party. It's this moment when the whole world comes together and stops and says, we acknowledge that God did something new for us in Christ Jesus, born on Christmas night. And we are all invited to the party. The doors are not locked on Christmas. People all over the world have come to this birthday celebration of our Lord, his very nativity moment, because it says to us that one birth can indeed be a blessing for the entire world and anyone and everyone and everything in it. We also believe that in a very unique way, that Jesus, when he comes on Christmas, is the final proof that God is going to be with us, deeply involved in human history, not on some far distant planet, but here, like us now. We say Emmanuel, God with us. Or the way that Pastor Rich Velotis, a New York pastor, said it this week, it means that God is with us, all of us. Not just God is with those who always agree with me, or that God is only with the people that I like, but that God is with us, enfleshed, one of us, among us, Emmanuel. Now, I need to share with you that preaching on Christmas is really hard. It's impossible to say anything new about it, but I try. So I spend lots of time every December reading Christmas poems. I read dozens over the past month. I've read Christmas essays, some fantastic ones. I've even read and listened to some Christmas sermons. And recently I've taken up looking at Christian art that I can find on the internet. I also, in the last couple of years, have started looking at YouTube videos. This was not part of my early ministry and my Christmas research. But YouTube gave me a gem this week. I once again stumbled upon the poetry and theology of a wonderful Englishman named Malcolm Guite. He's a chaplain at Cambridge in central England, and he's a poet whose works have been published all over the world, and he's written some of the most beautiful and important things about Christmas of anybody who is currently alive in our era. Two things stood out to me from what I learned on his YouTube channel. I know it's ironic that there's a 65-year-old poet in England with a YouTube channel, but that's where we live, right? That's where we live. But two things jumped out as I watched him read dozens of his Christmas poems on his channel. The first is this: the birthday child, Jesus Christ, the person that we are here to celebrate tonight and to thank God for, is the enormous yes to all of God's promises. When God makes a promise, how do we know that God is going to do it? Christmas says, because Christmas. God makes a promise, how do we know we can trust it? Because Christ is among us, one of us, Emmanuel. The second thing that Malcolm Guite pointed out was that Christmas is this final little piece of information about what the long arc of God in the world and really what the arc of the Bible is. Go back all the way to the Garden of Eden. What do human beings do? What do Adam and Eve do? What do men and women do in the Garden of Eden? We walk out. We walk away. And then we spend most of that time, rest of human history, if you will, hiding from God, afraid of God, wondering if God is ever going to love us or embrace us. And yet on Christmas, it's God's great reversal. The God that we are trying to hide from becomes the God who is doing everything to find us. Showing up right in the middle of human history. Showing up, walking back to us, returning to us over and over again in this child born of Mary, in this baby of Bethlehem, in the one to whom we sing our Christmas praises to this night. This big happy birthday celebration, a reminder, friends, that we are not alone in the universe. Oh, I know it can be easy to feel lonely at Christmas. I know there is someone in the sound of my voice tonight who is more alone than they ought to be. But what Christmas means is that we are not ever completely alone. And to believe as much indeed is an act of faith. So we are not alone, friends. But instead, we are blessed by the God of heaven and earth who comes to us in humility as a baby who was born and spent his first night in a cattle shed so that we might remember that no matter how broken or alone or fragile or low we might become, that God is with us and understands us even in our weakest and most helpless moments. Which is to state the theological essence of Christmas. God sends the Son of God, Jesus, to become a human being so that even the most humble humans among us can be known by God and in turn to know who God truly is. I have nothing greater to share with you than that tonight because that is Christmas. And I think if we'll take it for what it is a miracle beyond anything that we could have expected and truly beyond our wildest imaginations. That leads me to another thing I found this month. The American theologian Howard Thurman once wrote this about that God breaking back into our world to make it different. He wrote, quote, "Christmas is the promise of tomorrow at the close of every day. It's the movement of life in defiance of death. It's the assurance that love is sturdier than hate, that right is better than wrong, and that good is more permanent than evil." It's more permanent than evil. In other words, we cannot underestimate how important Christmas is. If indeed good beats evil, if indeed it means that hate doesn't win, then there is little wonder why the angels break open the heavens and start singing. And there's little wonder why the shepherds that night long ago go running. That's right, the shepherds go running. That's really what I want to leave you with tonight. Something about these shepherds. Maybe they're running in anticipation. Maybe they're running in desperation. But whatever, they run without hesitation. Luke tells us that they made great haste to Bethlehem, like gone in a cloud of dust. Again, in researching this month, I stumbled upon a Rembrandt painting called The Adoration of the Shepherds. And I think Rembrandt's interpretation really changed the way I looked at the text itself. If you know Rembrandt's paintings at all, there's a lot of darkness in them. There's often shadows at the margins and sometimes just like black paint on the sides. And the only source of light in Rembrandt's painting, The Adoration of the Shepherds, when they get to the manger, is the Christ child at the center of the painting. There's no other light. And the light of Jesus is shining on the faces of these shepherds. It's like the light of Christ is reflected in everybody who's there, Joseph and Mary and all these shepherds. But you know what's missing from the painting? There's no sheep. There's not a single sheep in the painting, which suggests to me that Rembrandt thinks that they just took off and left the sheep behind. That's a leap of faith. That's a bungee jump. It's like leaving behind your livelihood and going for it all with no guarantee. Note the following. Shepherding wasn't actually at the top of the economic ladder at the time. It was often the preserve of young children, young boys, ne'er-do-wells, people who couldn't find work doing anything else. It was unskilled labor for the most part. These were not lords or ladies or people that had good table manners. And yet, that's who the angel spoke to on that first Christmas night. And here's the thing. The shepherds, who maybe had never seen an angel before and would never see another one since, They believed it, and they went running. Let's make no mistake about it. If there's a gold medal winner on the Christmas story, it's Joseph and Mary. They have believed the angels that have come to them. They have gone to Bethlehem, and they have done their part to participate in God's project of salvation and renewal through Jesus. They've done their part to deliver the good news of Christmas. And I think, in a way, we are more like the shepherds. We have not been called by God to give birth to the Messiah the way Mary did, or to Joseph to surround her and protect her. No, we've been called like those shepherds to go running, to go see, to go and give witness to what it is that God is doing. And since the shepherds are the second group of folks to show up in that manger in Bethlehem, according to Luke, I look at them like the silver medalists of the Christmas story. To their credit, to their silver medal status, we should note that they don't ask any questions. They don't pose any objections. They don't get a wait what moment with the angels. They just go do it. They just set off running for the manger. They trust in Christmas hope. They trust the angels, and they trust their faith. And so I think having faith like a shepherd, I think believing like a shepherd can be a model for each of us and all of us. I think it's what our Christmas faith is supposed to be. Or let me pose it in a question. What is it that each of us tonight, should our sleep be interrupted by an angelic presence? What is it that you know you need so badly, or that you've got to hold on to so desperately? What is it that you would drop and go running and leave everything you know behind for? What is that thing that only God can provide? What do we need so bad that we, like the shepherds, would drop all we knew and seek it out in the dead of night? My friends, have you ever wondered why the world stops to worship at Christmas? It's because Christmas tells us that there is something so good. All this love, all this grace, this wonder of God who is with us at Christmas. Christmas says there's something so good that we should seek it with all that we have. God, you see, becomes one of us in Christ so that none of us, one of us, so that none of us should ever be alone, ever, forever again. I think the shepherds believe that much, and I think we should too. God is with us. We are never alone. And that is Christmas. And we say thanks be to God for this miracle, that God should take on human life in Jesus the Christ and join our common human history. Thanks be to God for Christmas, my friends. Merry Christmas to you all. Merry Christmas. And may God bless us, everyone, everyone indeed. Amen. May the mercies of Almighty God, the promise of the child born in Bethlehem long ago, and every grace and blessing of Christmas be with you this night and with all whom you love. I pray you will stay warm, even as I pray for those in our city who struggle to do so this night. Thank you for your generosity. The offering you gave tonight goes entirely to support the kind of agencies in our city that help keep people warm. That's our goal. That's the grace. That's the mission. And it all starts because God said, I will be with you until the end through the birth of the one that we call Lord. God bless you, friends, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Amen.